Board of Supervisors will reconvene, and we're at item 7B, County Administration. I'm going to go back to one of our elected officials who's requested to provide a public comment. So I want to open the public comment for Mr. Andrews. Would you come on up and give us that public comment that you want to tell us?
Well, I appreciate that. I will tell you, I was in court this morning. Sorry I missed it, but the judges are not nearly as accommodating as you.
We'll send a memo.
Let's get you a robe.
We do need your name.
I'm Kurt Andrews, Siskiyou County District Attorney. I appreciate the opportunity to give a public comment to the board today. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the accommodation. And what I wanted to report on is I know the board has, you know, for years been, you know, very interested and concerned with a lot of the different cannabis operations that we're doing to try to maintain and improve the quality of life for Siskiyou County citizens. And the board has put substantial resources that we don't have necessarily plentifully in this county, and so we try to put them to good use. So I wanted to just make a report on how some things are going. When California, with Proposition 36 and 47 and things like that, have reduced many different kinds of crimes to misdemeanors, it really put a fork in law enforcement's ability to enforce through criminal violation and criminal law. And so we've tried civil and administrative and using outside civil firms and inside and all kinds of different things. And we're still trying all of those things and having levels of success. But there's an opportunity now to reinvigorate felony enforcement, and it requires one of two things. There are two categories. The first category is environmental, and the second category is tax. And so during this last year, the board approved a general funded investigator from my office to work as an investigator to help us develop those felony cases. I want to report to the board that this last Tuesday, we had our first two felony convictions, and when we convict somebody of these kinds of felonies involving environmental violations, it does a few things. Number one, it puts significant restrictions on the land, but number two, it puts significant restrictions on the person. So if you, the practice has been for them to transfer these lots back and forth, but this one, this kind of an enforcement action isn't limited when the transfer of the title happens because it goes with the person. And so their friends aren't going to have any more ability to cultivate than they had. And so this is a really positive thing. What I wanted to tell you is that part of your investment has allowed us to reach out to the state because there are some things that California cares about. One of them is the environment, one of them is taxes. And so we're kind of taking advantage of that. And the state's been really helpful to us. So what happens is our team goes out, documents environmental violations. If there is a person there who's a landowner, that is the mother load of what we want. And we can then tie that person to the land and go through a tax kind of a structure. So this won't take much longer.
You're fine.
So we have about 30 felony cases now in the pipeline toward resolution and more on the way. And the only thing that's stopping us from having more on the way are having people to document these things in the field. The NISMA team works extremely hard. We don't always get environmental reports from them. So the way our cases are structured right now is we're using our investigator to investigate those after the fact. Or we're taking the photos and the documentation that the NISMA team captures and sending those to the State Environmental Board and also the State Tax Commission. They're writing reports. They're providing expertise and expert witnesses we can use in court, and that's how we're getting convictions. So it's actually more of a commitment from the state of California than we've seen in about a decade. But we also, between code enforcement, environmental health, the NISMA team, and our office, are really poised to take this in a positive direction that I don't really see being derailed. There's not really something in our path as long as we get all of our manpower, so to speak, so that we can cover all these bases. We can do these investigations, we can do environmental investigations in the field of NISMA. So I feel better about this than I have in a long time. We've had a lot of good things happen in different departments, but this is a convergence that I think is gaining momentum, and I want to report to the board on that.
Appreciate it greatly, you taking time out to come and provide us that information. Thank you.
We're really excited about the felony convictions, and we've got 30 more in the pipeline that will be felony convictions, and a limitless stream that if we can get all of our resources pulled in the same direction, to follow behind those.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, item 7B, County Administration.
Good morning, board members. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. Earlier this month, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, referred to as FEMA, sent a letter and updated preliminary flood insurance rate map panels and flood insurance study report to Chair Cobseff, just to help the board and the public out. FIRM is the official map of a community on which FEMA has delineated the special flood hazard areas, the base flood elevations, and the risk premium zones applicable to a community. And the FIS is a compilation and presentation of flood risk data for specific water courses, lakes, and coastal flood hazard areas within a community. When a flood study is completed, the information and maps are assembled into an FIS. The FIS report contains detailed flood elevation data and flood profiles and data tables. So again, earlier this month, FEMA sent a letter and an updated FIRM and FIS report. FEMA is seeking the county's response to these documents by April 28, 2024. Understanding that there is public concern regarding changed floodplains following dam removal, I wanted to bring this item to the board today. Community Development has reviewed the portions of the FIRM and the FIS surrounding the Klamath River, and they have confirmed that there is no new mapping along the Klamath River corridor. As has been communicated by FEMA to the county, new floodplain mapping for the Klamath River below the dams will occur several years following completion of dam removal. Community Development has also confirmed that the new LIDAR-based mapping data used in the development of these documents has significantly improved. Baseline flood elevations are much more identifiable and more user-friendly, which will help people to get flood elevation certification. Today, I'm seeking the board's direction for staff to draft a comment letter, if necessary, to FEMA and authorize the chair to sign this letter. This may not be necessary now that Community Development has reviewed the documents, and at this point, they don't have any significant feedback, and we know that the documents do not address the Klamath River corridor. I'd also like to express my appreciation to Rick Dean, who took the time to perform a review of this so that I would have this information for today's board meeting regarding the Klamath River. With that, I'm open to any questions from the board and direction, and then staff will determine before the 28th if a letter is needed.
And Supervisor Howe?
Yes. And I don't know the answer to this. Does this, whatever they did, does this change anything regarding like jurisdictional wetlands for agricultural production and ag land adjacent to rivers?
I do not know the answer to that question. That's a good question. I'm not sure if that is something we will look into and determine.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Of course, the climate support, the flood zone is potentially changing there. All those factors we have to take into effect. Another part of District 1 that has to deal with this is the plow.
Yes, yes.
Because the flood zone has changed there. Mike Crawford, when he was the position that he had working for the county, had worked on the flood zone area for McLeod, and I said that he wrote, he memorialized, you know, the people for me, Al Burke. So I forwarded that to Brian Giannone, as well as all the folks from those sorts of things. In regards to this, any source of funding to mitigate potential flood troubles we may be having in different areas?
I did not see a reference to any source of funding to address those issues, no.
Now, this is, you might pay to reach out to Amos McKeever. He's with, I'm not seeing the last name right, he's the service district manager for McLeod. In regards to their issues, they may welcome some sort of comments from us. I can connect you guys together on this. When the flood zone, when we redid it several years back, before I was on the board, we had incorporated a large area into it that wasn't in it originally. So people have bought homes, and of course the flood insurance is so high. And it's not the same concern that, FEMA felt it should have. It should be removed from it, so.
Yes,
and,
we will get in contact.
All right.
With them.
So, you need direction?
Yes,
if
please.
Needed,
if needed, we'll be correct.
So,
it looks
and
like
that would be in the form of a motion?
And maybe could Natalie Reed, County Council, put a little bit of like a description on it, so to the extent that there's technical errors or corrections that need to be commented on.
So, if there were a letter submitted, it would be to address any technical errors or address any specific concerns to what Supervisor Hout brought up regarding wetlands or what Supervisor Chris brought up concerning the McLeod District. At this point, it wouldn't include anything related to the Clam River corridor, as there's, we haven't seen any changes.
Okay. Supervisor Rover?
So is this the final, and this isn't going to change?
No, this is not the final. This is the draft, and FEMA opened a 30-day comment period. Or we were asked to respond within 30 days of receiving the letter.
So, given that the river's not been changing, we have no idea what Mother Nature is going to bring us in the future. This could be a 5 or 10 year process to see where that river bed is going to end up. How do we move forward with this? When is this process going to, how long is it going to be before there is a final picture of what this is going to look like?
So the process for assessing flood zones or updated flood zones for the Klamath River corridor following dam removal will be separate from this process. When we received this letter and the documents, we anticipated that there could be some information in there regarding the Klamath River corridor, understanding this is a very hot topic. We added this item to the agenda since comments are due by April 28th. In the community development reviewed those, but I wanted to bring to the public that in these documents there is not anything related to flood zone changes within the Klamath River corridor associated with dam removal. That will be a separate effort by FEMA following dam removal.
So, motion with regard to that?
Yeah, I want.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I thought of something else too. Does this change our county base layer for planning purposes and building code? And because the FEMA process on the river will. That's why I'm asking this question.
If you would please, Rick King, Community Development Director. Re-ask the question, please.
Will this process they're doing right now change the description of a property that will affect the ability to build on it in the building code?
What it does is it identifies essentially the 1% of the 100-year floodplain and also the 500-year floodplain assigns more accurate benchmark elevations for the structure construction. So the insurance piece that comes in, any structure that's built within a floodplain has to be elevated above the 100-year floodplain and identified. Really, process is the same in the area of Scott Valley, which is really the only area that they improved. The data is much more better. It's easier for our building department to identify the location of the house relative to the benchmark elevations, right? In the past, where the gray areas are there, we have to get a surveyor to come out there and actually survey it and cost constituents more money. So it just makes it a bit more efficient and accurate in the Scott Valley area. Hopefully, continue to improve throughout the county. It's all focused on structures within the floodplains, identifying where those elevations are, and then making certain that the structures are elevated above that level. Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess what more specifically, so my house is here. Am I going to wake up tomorrow and now my house, the line here is here, and now the line's over here, and now I'm in the floodplain? Is that?
Yeah, I hate to go into those details, but historically there are, you know, misnomers out there where homes are not dialed in on their benchmark elevations, so we're trying to go back and clean it up. Basically, we're leaving those alone unless the insurance companies are coming forward and identifying certain issues. But it's not an exact science.
Sounds messy.
Any other comments, questions?
Second.
Huh?
Let's look for a second.
I'm looking for a motion first.
I thought you did.
No, I did not.
No.
So if you want a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Sure.
I'll
and the motion
second.
Is?
To
the recommended
direction.
The recommended motion?
There isn't.
Well, there is on the worksheet.
Let's
so.
See, where am I at here? Yes. If needed, I guess is the only thing that's.
So the motion would be to submit a letter if needed that would address Supervisor Houck's questions regarding wetlands and agricultural impacts, and to include Supervisor Chris's comments regarding impacts to the McLeod area.
Okay. Mainly for McLeod, just for standing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is something that happened a long time ago. I believe there were some homes there that were part of the flood zone that got to be removed. And then there were some homes that got placed in.
Yep.
After it happened. Yeah.
A motion would say write the letter, not if needed.
Okay.
To draft and submit, would that be better?
Correct.
A motion draft and submit a letter if needed to address Houck's and Chris's concerns.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate
okay.
it. All righty. Supervisor Houck.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
I suppose.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, we're at 7C.
Good morning, again, Board. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. Before the Board today is a draft letter to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. At the direction of the Board, the county has been engaging informally with FERC regarding outstanding concerns and issues related to Klamath Dam removal. Unfortunately, informal communication has not resolved many of the issues, and it has become clear that due to the breadth of topics expressed to FERC by the county, a formal letter would be the best course of action in hopes of getting our issues addressed. To be clear, the purpose of this letter is to articulate to FERC the county's primary concerns and unaddressed issues related to dam removal and to make certain requests to FERC to resolve these issues. In many of these instances, the county has been unable to resolve these issues through coordination with the dam removal entities. Rather than detailing the entire letter, which is rather lengthy, I want to touch on a couple of main topics in the letter, and the public is of course welcome and encouraged to read the letter in its entirety, which addresses several other topics. The county has raised concerns about the Klamath Mitigation Fund to KRRC, the state of California, and the Klamath Mitigation Fund administrators on multiple occasions. These concerns have centered around the lack of adequate communication from the administrators to potential claimants, the parameters for what will be compensated, and who is eligible for compensation, and the deadlines for claimants to seek funding, which in most cases, these deadlines have already passed, even though impacts from dam removal will be realized years after the project is completed. More detail related to these issues can be found in our draft letter. These issues have largely gone unaddressed, so we must document them, as the Klamath Mitigation Fund is the only current avenue that can and must make residents whole from the impacts of dam removal. Our requests to FERC include the following: that FERC require the Klamath Mitigation Fund to be reopened and allow community members to continue to file claims as further project impacts are realized, which may require the Klamath Mitigation Fund to remain open for up to 10 years following dam removal. Payments of claims must also be an amount to make filers whole from the impacts of dam removal and should not include a cap for funding, for example, a maximum amount of $5,000 per well. We are also asking FERC to require that any remaining funding in the Klamath Mitigation Fund be used for community impact mitigation. For example, those who paid to test their groundwater wells should be reimbursed for these costs. We are also requesting that FERC require KRRC to assess other outstanding project impacts and include coverage of these impacts in the fund. We are also requesting that KRRC, or that FERC, rather, require that KRRC or the Klamath Mitigation Fund provide the source of funding for the Klamath Mitigation Fund, the amount of original funding, and the funding expended thus far. Another topic of note in our letter is the critical energy / electrical infrastructure information, referred to as CEII. CEII is a designation through FERC intended to protect critical infrastructure that is classified as national security information. KRRC has continued to file many of their submittals to FERC under this designation. As described throughout our letter, the public and the county are concerned with KRRC's lack of adequate and timely information regarding construction activities on site. It is well known that this project is the largest dam removal in United States history and has definite and immediate impacts. Transparency is key. We understand that there may be certain situations where CEI is needed to protect critical information. However, power generation at any of the facilities concluded by January 2024, and the reservoirs have been drawn down. Project reports filed by KRRC to FERC must be available for informational and public safety purposes. In many instances, it is left to the public and the county to discern what is occurring on site, as correspondence filed by FERC in response to KRRC's redacted reports only gives us half of the story. I feel that it is important to outline a recent example of these issues that I'm broadly touching on. Recently, KRRC issued a public release targeting, quote, misinformation shared by local news outlets, stating that such information causes confusion among the public, and KRRC has attempted to correct this information with their release. However, the public has only the correspondence filed by FERC in response to KRRC to ascertain information about the project. Had KRRC been more transparent about project activities, this in itself would have cleared public confusion. We have asked KRRC many times in the past to be more transparent through meetings with the public and regular public notices. However, our requests have gone largely unanswered. Therefore, through our letter, we ask that FERC do the following: require KRRC only to use CEII designation on portions of project submittals that include national security information. Our goal in making this request is that the county and the public have an accurate and timely avenue in which to obtain information important information related to the project. In summary, my request to the board today is to approve the letter and authorize Nossaman LLP to submit the letter to FERC in substantially the same form that is before the board, which means that there will be some minor corrections and edits to the letter. These would include citations that Nossaman will include, footnotes that Nossaman will include, formatting to fit their letter formats, and addressing a few grammatical errors. As a reminder, Nossaman LLP intervened in the FERC proceedings on the county's behalf, therefore they will be submitting the letter for the county. With that, I'm open to any questions from the board.
Questions from the board? Supervisor Howe?
Thank you for the letter. It's very detailed. I appreciate it. Yeah. I know it took a lot of work to put that together. The I guess the most glaring issue I see before us, and it's articulated a bit in this letter, is the interactive real-time communication between OES and whoever would make a call should an emergency happen. KRC has been reluctant to even participate in that planning, and I'm not confident that they're the right entity to be communicating these things to OES. So I'm just asking a question. Is that response or communication to the county better handled by a state or a federal government agency or by the contractor? Because the contractor, as you know, tries to minimize things rather than allow us to be proactive up front when we need to be.
And we do address emergency services in this letter. I would need to go through and find where we have specific requests related to that.
Yeah.
In regards to would the state be a better avenue than KRRC, I'm not the one to answer that, but I will coordinate yeah. with our emergency services director.
I would rely on Brian's expertise on that. I'm just responding to the interaction I've had with him and struggling to get through this process of even putting an emergency plan in place.
Understood, and we do detail in this letter requests that the board has specifically made related to emergency services to KRRC at public board meetings and how those have either been addressed or in most circumstances unaddressed.
And then the next thing that's missing in the letter that I actually like included in the record is the recent communication from KRRC to the board that said they're no longer going to participate with us in our permitting meetings or in our public meetings.
Yes, so we did receive an email on Thursday, April 11th, following the closing of the agenda, where KRRC's executive director, Mark Branson, stated that they would no longer be participating in the biweekly public information and permit meetings. These are internal meetings between KRRC and county staff, and that they are also reconsidering participation in the board's monthly special board meetings on dam removal.
Okay.
So we can incorporate that letter.
Please.
Or email.
Yeah, please do. And then the remaining is on fire. We've had repeated testimony from some of the river guides that the deep water holes are filled in with sediment and critically insufficient depth to be able to use a helicopter. I've asked several times of CAL FIRE for a list of feasible dip sites that they would put in their dispatch system pending this fire season. Yet to receive any response from them, and I'm very concerned that we're going to rely on something that's not available this year.
Yes.
And that's, I don't know what the language is to include in that letter, but relying on the water in the river as a dip site, as what's in the fire plan, just isn't feasible.
Yes.
Can I just add real quick?
Sure.
So I was down in Escondido, and a vendor came up to me when I was down there for the State Association Wildfire Mitigation Plan. Mm-hmm. I guess I asked him to reach out to Brian Shinoni. Basically, how I interpret it is a giant swimming pool. They set these places
they
up.
Do.
Yeah,
they do, but
it's grant funded. So. Yeah.
I understand.
But again, I'm just saying that there are ways to help mitigate what's going on.
There are. What I'm addressing is initial attack, not extended attack. It's a fix of all the set goes up.
Well, I think his premise was they set this up ahead of time before the season.
Oh, okay.
That was the premise. That's what he conveyed to me.
That would work.
And I asked him to reach out to Brian Shinoni.
Yeah, but that's not what TRC provided.
I'm just trying to tell you this. I'm working at all fronts.
Yeah. So I thought we had some of the.
They provided the equipment, but not the installation and maintenance.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Before I go to you, Chris, Supervisor Chris, just a quick question on the email from Mr. Ransom regarding not participating anymore. Is there a reason why?
So I will read that. I'll read the email.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning. After recent, let me back up. This is the email from Mark Ransom on Thursday, April 11th. Good morning. After recent events and internal discussion, KRRC is electing to no longer attend the county's proposed biweekly public information and permit meetings. Permitting issues are rarely discussed, and the county's recent water quality memo and the county's recent actions have made it clear to us that there is not a shared interest in relaying timely and accurate information to Klamath River communities. It does not behoove any of us to dedicate time to these meetings on a regular basis when the outcome is the perpetuation of inaccurate information about the project. If you have any questions about the project, please reach out to Ren and me via email, and we will respond to your questions in a timely manner. We are also willing to meet with the county as needed if an agenda is provided in advance. The Renewal Corporation is also reconsidering our participation in the board's monthly special meetings on dam removal. Elizabeth, when you have some time, I would like to have a conversation with you about this issue to see if we can determine whether or not our participation can be more efficient and productive for all concerned. Mark Ransom.
Thank you. Supervisor Chris.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Basically, what the residents are asking is just to be kept whole post-project. If they had operating well or operating a road to get to their place, they just want to be kept whole. For me, I think the county can serve as, it's not our job, but we ended up filling the gap. But the county can serve as a connector between the co-licensees and residents. Our board meetings serve as a venue to share the information. I think we can be a connector to connect people together through the services and get that place where it needs to meet the needs of our constituents.
Yes.
With that,
yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Side eye.
Well, I'm just seeing if you have any comments.
I'll find it with the letter.
Yeah, thank you so much for putting this letter together. It is very thorough, and it hits so many of the things we've been talking about for so long. Public safety, I think, is paramount to what we've been talking about all along. Fire suppression, to reiterate what Supervisor House said, I think is really, really critical. Whether it be through those dip tanks that I know South Wairika has been given, and I know they've talked about bringing them up to various areas up around Cocoa Lake Village, and also the fact that the sediment has filled in those deep pools, we need to look into that. One of the items that I know KRRC has stated is that they're willing to do one more water quality test in late April or early May. And I believe that we have requested that they continue to do water quality testing. And whether that's going to come from RES moving forward or KRRC, I believe that that is really important that that continue. So I'm not sure how we address that.
So in the draft letter, we do include the board's recent proclamation related to water quality, potential air quality, is included as an attachment to this letter, and then we put in the body of the letter our request to the state, and we're asking for it to assist us in that manner. We did not include KRRC's commitment to perform one round of water quality testing. We could include that, and so we will include that in the letter.
Okay. Thank you. And one of the other things about the mitigation fund that, and I don't know if we want to go down this path or not, but you know, we've heard constituents and the property owners up around the project talk about potential health problems that are beginning to show up. And everything we've talked about is regarding wells, property, but we haven't addressed health problems. We haven't looked to the future regarding potential problems. And if we're talking about air quality and water quality, how is this going to impact the health of the people that live around the project? And I'm not sure if we want to include anything in this letter regarding that and the mitigation fund. I'm not sure if it's worth putting a sentence in there, because if we don't, well, we won't be able to address it later. But if we open that door, we can move forward with it later.
Understood. And so if we were to include that, I would foresee that the proper place to include that would be in our request, where we ask FERC to require KRC to evaluate other impacts of dam removal and include them in the Klamath Mitigation Fund, and we could, at the board's direction, include that item as an example or specifically in there.
I'm afraid if we don't open the door, then we won't ever be able to.
Anything further?
Nope.
So, two things for me, three, I guess. One, I think the request should be for continued water monitoring. Is that what we're asking? I don't think this one-time thing is going to cut it. I think, to be transparent from the project proponents, that should be a no-brainer. They should be taking care of that. So,
understood. We can make that more clear in
okay.
The
okay, because it's not the county's responsibility. It's not our project.
Correct.
And basically, it's just to keep everything factual so that there isn't a lot of rabbit trailing on what's going on. And I don't understand the complication with doing more monitoring so that it can protect the water quality. The other thing is, with regard to what we talked about with the FEMA letter, are we talking about the floodplain with regard to FERC as well, that we have an unknown, and we'll have an unknown now for a while?
So we addressed that in the mitigation fund portion of this letter, that floodplain mapping will not occur until years after dam removal, and okay. That the Klamath Mitigation Fund needs to address that. In regards to discussing like the technical pieces of what FEMA is doing or their actions, we don't discuss that specifically in this letter, but we do discuss it as it relates to the Klamath Mitigation Fund, which, you know, the county has expressed many times, the board has expressed many times, is an outstanding issue.
Okay. And then lastly, I'm debating whether to even speak this, but I think it has to be. While I will say that I'm sure that the 800 and some odd thousand fry that died with the release a few weeks ago was accidental, I'm not convinced that it was otherwise. I'll leave it at that. But I think that the very nature of dam removal to provide fish passage and to provide greater salmon populations in a thriving, free-flowing river, the That impact, at least to the state of California, I'm sure is well over $500,000 in costs for raising those fry. I would hope that there would be some type of assurance that a provision could be made from FERC that protecting the species should be first and foremost as well with this project, as well as human safety. I don't know that we capture that. I'm not trying to be critical of the process. I'm just trying to acknowledge that for decades, we've been under the microscope for fish habitat and saving fish. And quite frankly, we don't want that accident to happen again. So I'll leave it at that. Yes.
So before we take this, before you guys make your, the board makes their motion, I need to amend what I'm asking the board for. So in addition to the minor edits that I detailed before, I'm asking for the board to approve the letter with the addition of fire-related issues and fire protection, including deep water pools, and the unaddressed issues of installation and maintenance of infrastructure provided by KRRC. We will attach the email from Mr. Branson and include a line or two about it in the body of the letter. We will also address in one of our requests that health issues related to dam removal be addressed by the Klamath Mitigation Fund. And we will include our request to KRRC and KRRC's commitment to perform a round of testing and our continued request to perform additional testing. And we will also include language regarding fishery recovery and assurances regarding fishery recovery, and that issues or fish don't recover in the manner and time anticipated by dam removal entities, that there's assurances for the public and water users. That's included as part of my request to the board.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Otherwise, I'm looking for action.
Can I have a quick question? Can I get a copy of that letter for my file?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Alrighty.
She
read off. So, Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor
Aye.
Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsik?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. You okay, Miss Wendy?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to move. I know there's some people here for public hearing, so I want to move on to item 11.
11A.
11A, yeah.
All right, Mr. Chair, I'll be removing myself from the Williams Snack ones.
Okay, so that will be A
through Z.
B, C, D.
And then go back to E.
Got it.
Okay, yeah, I thought I laid them out in that order.
That's perfect. Okay, Supervisor Chris recuses himself from those items. And we'll open the hearing. First one is item 11A, Community Development Planning Public Hearing to consider two resolutions, one approving an amendment to an existing agricultural preserve and one approving a rescission and reentry of existing Williams and Act contract application APA 2320. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Veronica Susan, Associate Planner. For the sake of efficiency, real quick, I'm going to let you know that the first three projects we're going to go over this morning are as a result of the denial of the proposed Williams and Act contract amendment for Wildlands Conservancy. The remainder of the property owners under that contract were notified that pursuant to county policy, upon denial of a contract amendment, a notice of non-renewal be issued for the entire contract. They were provided time to apply for their own contracts, which these three property owners did. And so we're going to start with Tom Hayden. He proposes that his 2,383 acres be rescinded from the existing contract and a separate contract be issued, which consists solely of his property with continued use of rangeland and pasture for livestock production and forage. Additionally, the agricultural preserve does not meet current standards as property within that preserve is not adjacent and not owned in common. Staff recommends amending the existing ag preserve to remove Tom Haynes' property and create an individual ag preserve and corresponding contract. Staff also recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15317, open space easements or contracts, and adopt resolutions approving the rescission of the applicant's property and re-entry of the new Williamson Act contract and amendment to the ag preserve. There is a recommended motion in the agenda worksheet. Thank you.
Okay. Presentation of correspondence.
Double check. I don't believe I had any. This one. No. No correspondence.
No. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. No, none in-house, none online. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. None in-house, any online?
Showing none online.
Thank you. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Would you indicate how they would get online, just in case there is somebody on there that doesn't know how to do the procedure?
Absolutely. If anybody on Zoom would like to raise your hand to be considered for public comment, if you would please press star 9, or I believe if you're on a computer device, there is a icon where you can raise your hand.
Thank you. Public comment. Any public comment in-house? Seeing none. Any public comment online?
Showing none online.
None online. There's no rebuttal by proponents or rebuttal by opponents, since there was none. And are we closing this hearing? Yes?
We can, okay. Yes.
We'll close it. Any discussion by board members? Supervisor Howe.
Thank you. That's my discussion. It's been, these four have been agonizing for you and me. And I appreciate all the work that's been done behind the scenes to get these back on board again.
Absolutely.
Any other board discussion? If not, I'm looking for action by the board.
Move to approve.
I have a motion. I'll second.
And that was the recommended motion, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Supervisor Hall?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobson?
Aye. Item B, community development, public hearing, consideration for two resolutions approving an amendment to an existing agriculture preserve and one approving the rescission and reentry of an existing Williamson contract under APA 23-22.
All right, Bernadette Susan again. Charles Hayden's property is under the same contract. Mr. Hayden proposes his 3,305 acres be rescinded from the contract and a separate contract be issued consisting solely of his property with the use of rangeland and pasture. He too is under the same agricultural preserve, which should be amended to remove his property and to create an individual preserve and corresponding contract. Staff recommends determining the project exempt pursuant to the CEQA exemption for open space easements and contracts. And there's a recommended motion in the worksheet. Thank you.
Thank you. Any correspondence?
No correspondence for this one either.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Anyone in-house? Anyone online? None. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? None. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
None online. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
None. Public comment. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Seeing no. There's no rebuttal by proponents and no rebuttal by opponents. And we will close the hearing. Discussion or action by the board.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve. I have a second. Supervisor Program.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopset.
Aye. Item 11C, public hearing to consider two resolutions, one approving an amendment to an existing ag preserve and one approving rescission and reentry into the existing Williamson Act contract under application APA-23-23.
Thank you, Bernadette Susan again. Arlene Ernest property is also under this contract. She proposes to have her 160 acres rescinded from the contract and a separate contract be issued for her property with the use of rangeland and pasture. As this property is under the same agricultural preserve, it too should be amended to remove Mrs. Ernest's property and create an individual preserve and corresponding contract. The same CEQA exemption applies for open space easements or contracts. And there is a recommended motion and worksheet. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
Not technically correspondence, but we did have one return to sender, unable to forward, and that would be our public hearing notification letter. Robert and Carol Munson from Horse Creek, California. It didn't get to them.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or other public agencies. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Public comment. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
There is no rebuttal by proponents or opponents. There is none that raise their hand. And we will close the hearing. Back to the board.
Just a quick comment that the physical address for Robert Carroll is inaccurate, I believe, currently.
The one that was returned?
Yeah.
Oh, and I think you pull from the assessors.
From the assessors?
Yeah. The property's still there, but I believe Carol's living on the ranch in that one.
Oh, okay.
At this point. But I'll move to approve.
Second.
And again, that's the recommended motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Coxon?
Aye. We're at 11D, Community Development and Planning, public hearing to reconsider resolution directing staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for properties under Williamson Act contract number 71018, 71036, 71051, 71061A, 71061B, 72043, 76024, 77037, 78034, and 78028.
Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. Staff continue to monitor properties under Williamson Act contract for compliance. The following properties are being recommended for issuance of a notice of non-renewal, each for a specific reason, which I will go over individually. Please let me know if you have a question about an individual property as I go along. To start with, it's the Metcalf property under 71018. We have not received a response from the property owner regarding a legitimate agricultural use on the property, so we are unable to verify that. 71036 for Ontario Limited, they too have not responded to the surveys. Additionally, there's a substandard sized parcel on the property, so it wouldn't meet minimum requirements. Contract 71051 for Eastlick, it's a 3.67 acre parcel, so it does not meet minimum requirements. Additionally, we have not received a response to our request for ag use information by survey. Contract number 71061A, 71061B, and 72043, the portions of those are owned by Hester. There are issues with that contract in that there's multiple property owners under it. There's substandard parcels, and additionally, only a portion of a 626-acre parcel is under contract. In order to bring it into compliance, the board would have to approve increasing the property substantially that's under contract. And Mr. Hester has not responded to requests for additional information. When he filled out the survey, he filled out there was intensive farming, and so we requested the Ag Commissioner check that out for us, which they did, and they responded that there's other uses but not intensive farming. Mr. Sabatos, under contract 76024, there's a open code compliance case on this property, and there's not been a verified commercial ag use. Contract 77037 is Rescue Ranch. They do not use it for agricultural purposes. Contract 78034, Stafford. This property is substandard in size, and and the county tax collector also commented that the taxes are delinquent. Hartman 78028. This property has two property owners, or excuse me, this contract has two property owners under it, which is a compliance issue. And also, the Hartman property is a 70.8 acre parcel, and only 40 acres is under contract. So in order for it to become compliant, they would have to substantiate a commercial ag use on the property, and the board would have to approve to increase the contract by 30.8 acres, so almost doubling it. So, anyhow, staff recommends that the board adopt the resolution directing staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for the properties listed in Exhibit A1 to the draft resolution. Staff also recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15317, open space easements or contracts, and adopt resolutions adopt the resolution directing staff to issue the notice of non-renewal. Thank you.
And could you include in your staff report the process of non-renewal, what occurs after?
Yeah, so once a notice of non-renewal is recorded, it becomes effective the first day of the renewal date of the contract, which is January 1st each year. And so that'll be the first date of the non-renewal period, which is 9 years. So the taxes will incrementally increase over those 9 years. At the end of the 9-year period, the contract will no longer be effective, and the taxes will be at a normal tax rate.
And is there any... Can you include in your report as well, is there the opportunity for someone that missed their opportunity to come back at this within that 9 years?
Yes. So anyone who's in, according to the current county guidelines, if you're in an ag preserve, you can apply for a Williamson Act contract. So they have the opportunity to, depending on their situation, provide proof of a legitimate ag use, and we would review their property to see that it meets the minimum requirements regarding soils and acreage requirements, and they could request their own contract be issued.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
Again, not necessarily correspondence, but I had two of our letters, notification letters returned. One is a John and Ginger McCarthy, and the other is Jacob and Stacy Russell.
Okay.
Came back as undeliverable.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Anyone in house? Anyone online?
Showing them online.
Okay. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in house? Anyone online?
Showing them online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in house? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Public comment. Anyone in-house? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Anyone none all the way around. So there's no rebuttal by proponents and no rebuttal by opponents. We'll close the hearing and back to the board. Anyone
Any discussion? And if not, sure, Supervisor Howe.
Just a couple of comments. One, the East Lake property, in reviewing the staff report and looking at that, it appears to me that it's in dense timber production. I don't know why it's not a timber reserve, or how it ever got into Williamson Act. It doesn't have any agricultural use on it.
It was brought into a Williamson Act contract with multiple other parcels.
Okay.
With the ag use, it was not brought in under timber production. It doesn't meet the minimum parcel size requirement to be in TPP zoning.
And it doesn't meet the criteria for the
Thank you.
And then on the Hartman property, I'm insufficiently satisfied with the ag report that horses do not qualify under the Williamson Act as an agricultural commercial use.
If it's a the California equine policy lays it out that if there is profit made, they have to show income. There can't be a loss on an equine industry to be considered commercial. So it would be for breeding or training purposes, and they would have to substantiate that with some sort of proof of income.
But that's not the case on this problem.
No.
And I guess I reiterate what I said months ago, that this is a contract and you have to meet the terms of the contract in order to qualify. If you don't,
it's part of the basically updating, because we haven't looked at the Williamson Act in a long time. So this has just been an ongoing process.
Since I've been on the board?
Yeah.
I'll make the recommended motion.
Okay.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsek.
Aye. Thank you, Ms. You're doing a great job on this. I know it's you're going to make a career out of this.
There's enough contracts.
You can have your own Williamson contract, right?
That's not allowed. You're taking it more, right?
We can make an exception. We've done that before.
I got to find some property.
You want to take five?
Yeah, that'd be nice, and then we get Chris back as well.
All right,
thank you.
Take five.